So we're going to take just a minute or two and answer some of these questions, and then we're going to go. Is that all right? Now, here, hold on to this. We'll just answer a couple of these, and you can look through those and pick out one. And see if we hit on...
Can you hold that while you're doing your...
Okay. Something today... man, I don't even know what that one means, but you'll have to read that. Okay, this question says, how do I deal with guilt that my steady girlfriend gets from being around other guys? How do I deal with guilt that my steady girlfriend gets from being around other guys? I take that this is written by a guy. Oh. Yeah. Well, I would just say in this context is that I am against, maybe like most Christians, most Christian leaders say they're against steady dating. But, you know, what I did is I always dated the best girl I could find. And it might have been for a period of 2 weeks or 6 months, but I didn't see any reason just because Joe Doe said I had to date, I couldn't get serious about anybody, that I date the second or third best girl I knew. So I always dated the sharpest gal I knew. But, let me say that when you get in this kind of relationship, this word steady, a lot of time creates a lot of jealousy and this type of thing. And that's not good, but those are the kind of emotions that Deanie and I said that need to be worked out before marriage. And if you think it's a problem then, what about the problem about the guy going off to work every morning at 8 o'clock and then the girl worrying about what his relationship's going to be with the secretary? So you need to take care of those jealousies and things first. But to say that you're jealous of your steady being with other guys, or she's jealous of you being with other girls or whatever, is a normal reaction, but it's something that you need to deal with. You need to turn that person over to God, and you need to get out of that possessive type thing, because you see, love is not possessive, but love is giving. And when we date, many times it's a possessive type thing, and this is bad. And God doesn't want it to be a possessive type relationship. And this says, how do you convey a fact to a girl that, say, read that one for me too.
Oh, I wish I'd gotten to say, I didn't get that far in ours.
Go ahead, say, what's the answer?
That's how to break up, essentially, is what it is, that the timing wasn't good without belittling her. And, of course, breakups, too, are much easier if the communication's been good as you go along. But the fact is, never use... what I tell girls to do is not to use a spiritual reason, like you're not spiritual enough, or belittling the other person in any way.
God's told me that we're not supposed to date anymore and all this.
We've actually...
I think that's putting a lot of blame on God, and it doesn't hurt him just to say,
if
you know...
If the timing is wrong, you say the timing is wrong. That's how open we think communication ought to be in dating, and it goes right along with the question I have here about why are they not open for a close relationship outside of dating? There is plenty of room for good friendships with each other that is not what you'd call an emotional tie-up relationship. Do you see the difference, what I mean? And this is based totally on how you're communicating in your dates. For instance, Kent's sister is at OU right now, and I dare say she's got as many boy friends that she's gone out with and done things with, and they're just friends. There never has been an intention of being anything more than that as she's ever had guys she's dated. And the reason is her communication is so good and so open that she'll talk about the guy she's dating to her boy friend when they're together. They're just completely, you know, they talk about anything that a girl and I may talk about in a friendship relationship. And she'll talk about the guys that she likes or wish so-and-so would ask me out. It's just a riot. But it's based on her communication with him. And they appreciate it, and she appreciates it, and there's no hang-ups, and there's no break-up at all to that situation. You're just a friend. Life.
So the main thing is just communicate. You know, there's nothing wrong with communicating. Joy has had a number of steady boyfriends during her 4 years of college. She's dated different guys at different times, and then she's gone through 6 months at a time where she didn't date anybody. Well, I think she's had a normal, natural dating relationship. She's now a senior. She's getting ready to graduate. She has no outstanding guy on her horizon or anything. But she's been very open in dating. She's communicated. And there's not been any great, real big problems. But there's still been the normal emotional ties, because that's just part of growing up. And there's nothing abnormal, there's nothing bad about that. Is going steady wrong? Myself, I don't think that it is wrong, but a lot of people in Christian circles would say that going steady is wrong. But my question to them is, when is going steady right? Do we set an age, 16 or 18 or 20 or 24? You know, when does it suddenly become right? And I think if we take a little bit of the mystique off of it and realize that when you're going with another person, that they're going to have other relationships with members of the opposite sex, that they're not tied to you totally, and that if you all date each other for 2 or 3 weeks and then you enjoy it, and you may date each other for 3 months or maybe for 3 years, but whenever that time comes, you begin to date somebody else, there's no big deal to it. And I think going steady is right, particularly at age 20 as a sophomore, junior in college. And a lot of pastors may disagree with me, but I think you've got to start at some time, because pretty soon, you know, you're going to get married, and you've got to go steady before you get married. That's really a promise.
That's right. This one says, Dini, you spoke of scheming to get a fellow's attention. How scriptural is that? Can you give scripture to back this up? No, I didn't say I was right. I just said I schemed. Not everything we did dating was right. We took a lot of principles from what we did wrong. And so, no, I cannot back that up with scripture. I sure wouldn't try.
What's this one say? Two Christians fall in love, but it's not God's plan for them to marry. Or is it not his timing? What if two Christians fall in love, but it's not God's plan for them to marry, or it's not God's timing?
That's two different things.
Well, what if they fall in love and it's not God's plan for them to marry? Well, if they fall in love and it's not God's plan for them to marry, and they're tied in with what God wants them to do in their life, then they're going to fall out of love. Because God is too sovereign in the affairs of man. If you're open to him, if you're open to what God wants to do in your life, then God is going to let you fall out of love with that person. Because he's not going to let Satan put the wrong person in there and get you all excited about this person and take you off out in the tulies when he has some great things for your life. So,
that's not to say, however, it would be easy or simple or not hurt. Because any time you are... you know, I referred to the time when he was in ministry, and I was very serious with the Lord that I would break up short of marriage if one of those other things didn't change. And I was extremely serious, and I was in love. And when the time came that I did break up, it honestly was because I thought we weren't good for each other in terms of our directions and our basic personalities. It was not because I wasn't in love with him. And it hurt like crazy. That's why I ran off to Dallas when I couldn't figure out what to do. So it's not to say it won't hurt, but that's part of emotional maturing and of growing.
And let me say this. If your two Christians are in love and you think it's God's plan for you to get married, but you have 2 more years of school to go, or you may be getting out of school but you're not financially independent or emotionally independent or other things, then what you've got to do is to cool that relationship, because love is patient and love can wait. But lust can't wait to get. And so what you're going to have to do is just cool that relationship. And if she's the perfect girl or he's the perfect guy, then you may cool the relationship and stop dating for 6 months or a year. But if the relationship is getting too serious and you cannot afford to get married, or you got schooling to go or for other reasons, then just cool the relationship and stop the relationship and say, man, you know, we're getting too serious about one another and it's going to lead to marriage and it's not ready. We're not ready for marriage right now. Cool the relationship. If it really is God's person, then about a year or 6 months or 2 years later, then God will bring that person back into your life. But you've got to go ahead and live a normal life in the meantime.
Another thing you can do on that is backpedal a little, especially if you're having trouble in the physical realm and you're really getting emotionally tied up with each other. You can backpedal a little and see if it'll work for a while. Start group dating again and things like this that you do when you're first initially starting to date a person, and see if that won't help pull some of the heat off. But if not, you just may have to, especially if you're graduating and one is moving completely away and you're in love, and but this isn't the timing to get married, well, you're going to have to go ahead and move completely away if that's where the job is. And maybe I'm having to stay here in school another year. That's okay. You know, that's one of those times when you learn a little bit more about each other through letters and keep up with each other. But God still is sovereign to be able to bring you two back together if it's right.
Let me answer this one right quick. I can see how awakening the guy's protective instinct is good, but don't you think that too much helplessness from our part can be bad and boring? This a girl wrote this. And yeah, it can be, because I like a gal that's fairly independent and this type of thing. On the other hand, I like a gal that once I assumed the leadership in an area, even if it was deciding which way we were going to go, that I don't want a mamby-pamby type gal. I want one that stands up. But once a guy has assumed the leadership, even if it's in a dating relationship, then the girl needs to kind of follow some of that leadership. And this, again, I think teaches them some things for a marriage. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
How can I develop a brother-sister relationship with girls? A relationship which is open and constructive, but without developing a love emotional band or bond. And a guy says that. And let me just say that if you're not dating someone else, it's probably tough to develop this kind of relationship, because some of the needs in your life are going to keep hopping out wanting to be met. And particularly if she's not, in other words, if Mary is one of the girls here and I want to develop a brother-sister relationship with Mary, but Mary is not dating anyone that time, and none of you guys have asked her out for the last year, and she's hungering for a date, you know, just a normal date with a Christian guy, and then you try to strike up a brother-sister relationship with her, then you're going to arouse a lot more emotions in her than a brother-sister relationship, just because she wants someone to date. So I would say that I've had a lot of good brother-sister relationships, but let's be honest about it. If you try to strike up that kind of relationship with a girl that has not dated in a long time or is not dating anyone, then her normal natural desires is to have some normal fun times dating another person. And it's hard to have a brother-sister relationship like that. On the other hand, if two people are having normal dating relationships, and it may only be once every 3 months or once a month or whatever that they have a date, but if Mary and John are having normal dating relationships with one another, maybe they've dated each other 4 times the last year, then they go out and have other brother-sister relationship with other people in the body of Christ, it can probably be very normal and natural. But if Mary's not had a date with anybody, it's real tough to have a brother-sister relationship with her, because she's going to have some needs that need to be fulfilled in the normal dating relationship that she cannot fulfill just in that brother-sister relationship. And dating is just, you know, dating's not that all that bad. You got time for about one more, because we've already gone 15 minutes over. Okay.
Then why do I have time for one more?
Go ahead.
Do old habits, which are bad, physical, selfish habits, eventually disappear as you mature spiritually? Or should you expect to have these habits worked out in future dating relationships before you can have victory in marriage? Anything you can do about these habits while not dating? Okay, I think habits, both in physical relationships and any other kind of habit, is something that simply because of the nature of habits doesn't eventually disappear. A habit is something we're very ingrained in, and especially you look in passages in the Bible like Ephesians 4 and 5 where it says, put off being a liar, for instance, and put on. The Bible has all these different times of saying, put off this habit and put on this one. Put off being a liar, put on being a truth teller. It isn't a matter of eventually quitting the bad habit. It's a matter of substituting it with a good one. And when you take this principle and take any kind of habit you have and get a constructive idea of what good habit would replace that, and the Word of God is the best place to get ideas for these constructive replacements, and have a program in your mind of how I'm going to replace this old habit with this new one, then you've got the old one licked. You never have a habit licked by quitting it. That's the New Year's resolution thing that never works. You replace it. So, for instance, if I'm having trouble with my physical relationship in dating, then what I'd better gain as a new habit until this old one gets broken is to have very structured dates where I have a planned thing I'm going to do, not one of these let's ride out and look at the sunset or walk in the park type dates. What I need for me right now to replace that old habit is a very structured date where I go to such and such a place, maybe where a group is, be in by a certain amount of time.
A double date, too.
Yeah, anything like that. But see, you've got to constructively think your way from one habit to the next and then actually replace it. And it takes work, and it takes concentration, and it is extremely well worth it.
Most of you all probably... How many of you have been to the Gothard Seminar? For the other half of you that haven't gone, I wouldn't do anything next summer until you went to a Gothard Seminar, because I tell you, I couldn't go when I was in college, but I think it's some of the most useful material. I know that your folks have told you that. Let me give you this question as a male, maybe a last male question. Regarding Bill Gothard's material on gaining a clear conscience, how do you go about making amends for several illegitimate relationships with young women who are a distant part of your carnal Christian past and who are not geographically present with you? Certainly not a letter, they say. What about the telephone? And I would say, yeah, certainly not a letter, because, you know, that could cause you problems for the rest of your life. But all of us have got parts of our life that we'd like to forget about, and parts of our life that maybe we've asked forgiveness for God and confessed it as sin. But, you know, there may be some things that we as guys have done to a gal a number of years ago that was wrong, that was sin. She may live 1,000 miles away. If you think, on your part, I would just ask God to give you some leading whether to call the person or not, because I would not want to stir up something that maybe has been buried. But if God definitely makes you feel like that you need to call, then you could call the person and ask her forgiveness in this area and tell her that God has gotten your attention in your life, that your goals and that your standards of dating and your standards in life are far different than they were a few years ago, and ask her to forgive you for the wrongdoing in this area, and that thing may be clear between you. But, you know, it may be that God would say, let's go ahead and bury this and not bring it up again, and perhaps it might stir up more problems than it would. But then you could ask the Holy Spirit to bring it back to your mind. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, and He will bring it back to your mind. And if you need to do something, then make a phone call, or the next time you're back home or wherever that place is, visit with a person and explain that to them. But that should be all of it. But it could be that because of your Christian testimony and being honest with a person and asking their forgiveness in this area, it could be that God has been dealing with them. Maybe they're not a Christian, and maybe God has been trying to convince them to give their spirit over to Him, and it could be a step which could lead that direction. Okay? We've appreciated being with you, and we've gone 15 minutes over, but all I can say is, let me just say two things. Number one, be real careful about sharing some of the things that Deanie and I have shared with you today with someone else out of context by saying, these folks down in Oklahoma said this about praying or dating or going steady or whatever, because if they're not able to ask us a question back, and if they did not see the context that it was set in, they might get a real wrong idea about what our concepts are. And then number two, let me say this, is that we have really enjoyed being with you. We appreciate Larry and Joanne and Bob and the rest of you all inviting us to come. And Deanie and I have given about 70% of our ministry in the last 2.5 years to counseling Christians and counseling mainly Christian couples. And we believe it's a very important thing to get relationships settled, to get problems in our life settled so that we can be an effective, mature Christian for Christ. And it's really our desire to see you be effective, mature people. And I do not want to see you on one end of the dating scheme where you're always, that's the most important thing in your life, and it totally controls your student affairs and your ministry and your job and everything else. But on the other hand, I don't want to see you at the extreme where you say, you know, God doesn't want me to date right now, no dating at all. I know that He calls some people to that position, but I don't think He calls 90% of the students of a given student organization. He might call 5 or 10%. But the biggest problem that we've had in dealing with a lot of students in Oklahoma City the last few years is that they feel like that God would have them not date for a number of years, and then at age 25, they have to learn the lessons that God wanted them to learn at age 20. And when they get married at age 30, they've got to learn the lessons that God wanted them to learn when they were 22 or 23. And I'm not saying that He may not want you to wait a number of years before you're married, but I am saying that the normal, natural thing to do is to date. There's nothing bad with it. Enjoy it. Have fun. But set your standards high and use that dating to make you a more effective person ministering in the body of Christ instead of deteriorating from the value of your Christian life. And like I said, we've said some things that may be different than what you've heard before, but we share these just from the Word of God and from experience, and we can say that they've actually worked in many, many couples' lives. And our prayer for you is that you have a fun, successful, maturing dating relationship, and that one day, it may be a year from now, it may be 5 years from now, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead you to that perfect guy or that perfect gal, and that you're able to spend the rest of your life together with them in a ministry. And Deanie and I said coming down, when you meet that perfect person, people have said that marrying the right person can either double your ministry or marrying the wrong person can cut it in half. And let me rephrase that statement. That's not a true statement. If you marry the wrong person, it finishes your ministry. Because if you married the wrong person, your ministry is probably going to be cut by 99%. Because if you married the wrong person, you'll not be able to effectively minister for God. But on the other hand, let me change the statement. If you marry the right person, your marriage not necessarily will be doubled, but your ministry will be changed. And you, once you become married, your ministry will be a far different ministry than you had before. And within a period of 2 or 3 years, particularly when children come, your ministry changes dramatically. But your ministry will change, and it will change for the better. And we just encourage you to enjoy the dating relationship and learn the things that God wants you to learn. I want to have Larry, if he would lead us in a word of prayer for this time together, and then if you'll go ahead and do what you need to do. Larry, lead us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you have spoken this afternoon. Father, we thank you that marriage and sex and all of these things are not our idea, but they were your idea. They were given a beautiful thing. Father, we pray that you would teach us how to really relate to one another in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. Father, we just ask that you'd show us the standards that need to be set. That, Father, you would really give us hearts, and that you would give us the self-control to abide by those standards. And we thank you for the power you've promised to give us to do that. We claim it together this afternoon. And Father, I know the struggles that we go through. And Father, I know that you are a faithful God. And Lord, I pray that these that are here this afternoon who are looking forward to marriage in the future would really give their lives and trust in you for that. And Lord, that they would have the joy and the privilege of seeing your faithfulness, of your provision that you've given me the privilege of experiencing. So Lord, we just take these words and place them at your feet and trust you to show each of us how to apply them to our lives. Because we've asked in Jesus' name for his sake.